Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Borgon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country and from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm not talking to a Schwalbe athlete, I'm talking to the Schwalbe UK sales rep Grant Wildman. He gives us an inside view on his job and the special situation during this pandemic. How they react on the travel situation and how they support their dealer going through this pandemic as good as possible, you will find out in this episode of Pump. Hey Grant, thanks for taking the time to do the podcast with us. How are you?
Oh, morning Toby. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So, could you please tell our listeners who you are and where you come from?
My name's Grant. I'm the UK East and London sales promoter for Schwalbe Tyres UK.
And you're living in which area, or in which area is Schwalbe UK based?
So I live in an area called Milton Keynes, which is about 40 miles north of London. And like I say, I live quite central to my area that I work in.
And there are more sales reps from Schwalbe in this area, or are they spread all over the country?
So the country's almost quartered. We've got Ben, who's our northern rep. We've got Mark, who covers the kind of Midlands and Wales. And we're soon to have a new promoter for the south area now.
Ah, okay. Cool. So, yeah, you're a sales rep in the UK for Schwalbe. How did you get the job and what is your connection to cycling?
So I've worked in the cycle industry for majority of my working life, predominantly as a bicycle mechanic in a number of shops local to my area, a few UK distributors I've worked for, and spent a small amount of time, sort of a long summer, travelling around Europe working on the Ironman circuit.
Oh, okay.
Helping with a bit of neutral service, as well as the transportation of people's tri bike and equipment out there for the company that I was working for. I've been working for Schwalbe Tyres now for 5 years this January, which has flown by. And I basically got that job just applying for it through, sort of a business bicycle network in the UK called Bike Biz, where the job was advertised. And it all happened from there, basically.
Nice. So, but did you grow up in Milton Keynes? And is there any chance to go riding? So did you grow up on the bike?
Yes. So, I mean, cycling's been a pretty big part of my life since I was probably about sort of 11 or 12 was when I sort of really took it on as a kind of my main passion. Milton Keynes has a pretty incredible cycle network to get around. It has this large redway network, so you can pretty much get from anywhere in it without touching any roads, which is pretty good. It's a modern city, so it's very spacious. There's lots of green and parks. We've got Woburn and Rushmere Woods local to me as well, which has some great mountain biking, which most weekends I end up going up around there and having a blast around the woods. It's really good. It's got a quite famous jump site as well, a bit out of my remit. I'm not a big jumper, I'm more of an XC rider. But it's pretty impressive. You get some pretty big names from the dirt jump scene, sort of regulars up there. And then Rushmere Woods obviously has Matt Jones's sort of bike park he did for his big Red Bull video.
Yeah.
That's still there, which is pretty cool. And there's a red trail around that way. So we're pretty lucky in Milton Keynes. I don't have to travel far for some pretty decent road riding that will go out into the countryside, some great gravel riding and mountain biking. So yeah, I'm quite lucky. Throughout lockdown, it's been a bit of a blessing. I haven't had to drive anywhere to do any of these. So
yeah, lucky. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And these days when you hop on the bike, are you going on a road bike, gravel bike, or are you a mountain biker? What is your main bike at the moment?
At the moment, it'll be my gravel bike, just with the restrictions on movement and things like that. It's such a versatile bike. And with the area that I live in, it's a great exploring bike. I'd call myself a mountain biker, but the gravel bike's been my kind of savior of sanity this year, which has been great.
Yeah, I mean, I really love gravel biking as well. It's so much fun, and you can explore so much ground in a short period of time. I really love it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just, you know, you've got the ability to traverse on the road between muddy fields or whatever you're going. I mean, obviously in the summer it's a bit nicer through the fields and a bit faster, but even through the winter you can just, you know, it's just that freedom of being able to do what you want.
Yeah. So you told us that you work for Ironman. What was your job at this company?
So wasn't directly for Ironman, but a company that worked alongside the events as well as the challenge events across Europe, basically triathlon. So it was a job that was involved with the collection and transportation of people's bikes and equipment. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of charged with creating a racking system to transport the bikes without dismantling them, obviously tri bikes. And triathletes are quite fussy with their bike fits, as you can imagine. When you spend that sort of money on a bike and a bike fit, you don't really want it tampered with. So we had to juggle and sort of mix a jig that would carry the bike safely without them being knocked around, but also without dismantling them. So we managed to devise something that basically only removed the front wheel and possibly moved the saddle, but obviously was marked before we did. So yeah, that was an interesting task. And then spent a summer driving around Europe to the events and then supporting the riders when we were there with a sort of mobile workshop and running a neutral service with them. Mm-hmm. Which was great. I got to travel to some beautiful parts of the world, Austria, Sweden, French Alps. I drove to Mallorca 4 times. It's quite a long drive.
Yeah.
Some really, really good events and some great experience. So yeah, it was nice one to do. Tiring, so I didn't want to do it for too long because it's you're away from home,
yeah,
you know, weeks on end. But it was a great experience.
Yeah, I bet so. Are you a triathlete yourself when you're working so much with these kind of riders?
I'm not. No, the temptation was it probably was some temptation there, but I'm not sure it's for me. I'm not much of a runner. I enjoy swimming, but few too many bike injuries. I mean, running's a bit not my remit.
Okay. So does your job as a mechanic and all that support for the Ironmans help you now with your job for Schwalbe?
Yeah, I think you know, with my background in that as well as in bicycle shop retail, I like to think I've got quite a good understanding of, you know, how the shops work, you know, from experience of when reps come in to see you. You have a good judgment of today's a good day, today isn't a good day to chat to people, and you know, you know when to come back another day, or mm-hmm. you know how to bridge those sort of starting conversations with shops. Time's precious for everyone, and with bike shops, with how busy it's been this year, it's been even more important to understand and sort of, you know, assess when you go into a shop, you know the validity of your visit, basically. So you know whether to, yeah, we'll have a good chat, or no, I'll leave you a catalogue and I'll come back another day.
Yeah. So when we're talking about your job, how can I imagine the job as a sales rep?
Okay, so day to day, I'll, you know, in advance, I'll plan an area in which I'll visit within my area. So I often plan it. I use a bit of Google Maps, and we have a nice CRM system to help plan our visits with all the customers' details logged onto it. So I'll always sort of scan ahead and check if there's any new bike shops that we've missed on the system or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, periodically sort of work our way round our map area and visit shops. So shop visits can vary from 4 to 10 a day, depending on where mm-hmm. I am and, you know, and how long you spend with shops. There's no limit. We're quite relaxed. There's some shops, you know, you'll pop in, you'll have a cup of tea with them, you'll have a good chat, you'll talk about everything in the catalogue and point of sale for the shop and everything else under the sun. And other shops, you'll say hello, they're too busy, or you know they've got a lot on, whatever. You'll drop a catalogue, leave your contact details, and you know, you'll either pop back or you'll hear from them in the future when they need something. So it's, yeah. it's It's a very relaxed approach. It's nice having that freedom. There's no pressure on us or the retailer that way, and I think that's quite unique.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Now Schwalbe in the UK is not that big than in Germany. So do you still have to explain to dealers what Schwalbe is, or how do you convince them to add Schwalbe to the program?
So I think as a brand, we're fortunate that it's a blanket brand image. We're still seen as, a lot of people actually perceive Schwalbe UK as being a lot bigger than it is, in the sense that it's a big brand, it's a strong brand, but as an actual company, I think we're about 14 members of staff, which includes mm-hmm. office, warehouse, and our promoters on the road. A lot of people are quite, maybe not shocked, but a little bit taken back when, they realise we're a relatively small outfit in that sense. I think yeah. I think we're quite efficient in how we work. So fortunate. So it's with the UK, I think we're fortunate that we were seen as quite big under the kind of German blanket, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So you told us already that you have 4 and soon 5 sales reps in the UK. What is your area exactly?
We've got 3 at the moment, and it'll be a 4th coming in.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry. My area, I cover the east of the UK, so from Oxford all the way east to Norfolk, as far north as kind of King's Lynn, Skegness, and then the whole of Essex and Greater London. So I have a pretty substantial part of the UK. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate to have London. I really enjoy the area. I visit a lot personally as well. It's just a nice area to have. What I like the most about it is I don't have to drive everywhere. When I come into London, I'm fortunate that I live near a train station. I just get a train straight into central London with the bike, and then I can just get around by bike, easy peasy.
Ah, nice. So, I can imagine going around in London by car is a nightmare. So you're not moving a lot because of all the traffic. But so that means you're going by train in the city and then going around by bike.
Yeah, pretty much. I tried to do that as much as I can. I mean, with this year, with avoidance of public transport to some extent, it's been great, not having to use the tube, which is, even before this year's pandemic, has always been seen as a bit grubby and you don't want to spend too much time on it. So it's been nice to get around by bike. There's been some added infrastructure throughout London for the cycleways, so that's made life a lot easier and safer as well.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. So how many dealers do you have in London, and how many dealers are existing in London?
So in the London area, there's probably about 300 dealers throughout into Greater London, mm-hmm. within the M25. This can vary from frame builders, independent bike workshops, chain shops such as sort of bigger brands, Halfords and Evans. But we don't discriminate. We'll visit anyone who is a Schwalbe stockist or is interested in a Schwalbe stockist, we'll visit. So I spend my time being as thorough as I can, trying to get round to everyone as I can. Mm-hmm. Obviously this year has been a little bit tricky with that, trying to see everyone. But yeah. If I haven't physically met them or gone in to see them, I'll always try and contact them via phone or email otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, this year is completely different to all the other years. And you in the UK also had a pretty big lockdown in spring. What did you do during this time if you couldn't travel?
Well, for the first few weeks, we were working from home and essentially cold calling shops, just contacting them via phone and email, seeing what we could do to help them during this time. What we quickly realized was shops were incredibly busy, and really too busy to be answering the phones to calls to any reps, I would have thought, to some extent. So, our management team were very quick to put into place or offer to us promoters a program a volunteer program where we would offer our services to retailers by going in to help them in any way possible, because during this busy time, whether it was servicing bikes for NHS workers, which was one of the main things we tried to help out with, or going in to answer the phones to help them cope because they've got staff off due to, you know, isolation or anything like that, or stock takes, you know, making cups of tea, just trying to be a bit of, you know, a dog's body, really, you know, trying to be as helpful as possible. And I think it worked quite well. It was, you know, it worked both ways in that retailers, I think, really appreciated it. It was a helping hand for a lot of them. It was fortunate for us promoters. We were able to get out safely, mind, with restrictions in place, which was great. But it gave us huge insight, which we were very privileged to be allowed to work in a lot of these shops. And it gave us a lot of behind-the-scenes insight of how the shops work, how they were coping with the ongoing pandemic, and really just, you know, how the brand was perceived. And it was a good chance for us to talk about the brand a little bit more casually, you know, within their own workspace and time. So yeah, we were very lucky. I think it was a good scheme.
So that means you worked one day in this shop and the next day in the other shop, or did you spend a bigger period of time in one shop?
Well, I tried to alternate as much as I can, and I did do some repeat visits at some shops, which was great. We got to work with some really, really nice people. And, you know, they were very appreciative of your time. So there was lots of free lunches, which was very good. It was very welcomed. That was always a bonus with it. it was a good experience with them, you know, being able to choose different shops as well, or offer it out. So I had quite a broad scope. It wasn't just one focused area of London. I also did areas closer to home, so towns like Bedford that are near me, and places like that, a shop called Flam Rouge. There's lots of shops that I went to all over. I tried to space it out as much as I can to try and get as broad a picture of how things were going with the pandemic.
Yeah. And what did you learn about this time?
So it was interesting to see the kind of the buying habits, and, you know, how shops decided to stock our product and others. Were they based on price, availability, reliability of the distributor? All these factors were interesting to find out. You know, some shops were quite, they're kind of, maybe old fashioned is the wrong way, but they preferred a rep to actually come into the shop to do orders with them, whereas other shops were quite happy just doing it online with B2Bs rather than someone coming to the store. So it was good to work out, you know, which shops were which and how their buying and spending habits were working. So that was quite interesting.
Nice. So yeah, this year where you could travel much less and visit much less dealers, did your job change, or do you think there is something which remains after the pandemic?
Well, yeah, definitely. We've had two separate full lockdowns, and during those times, we were working from home or volunteering where needed. But moving forwards, we have decided to offer the volunteering service going forwards. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a bit of a USP for us. But yeah, it has changed in a lot of shops require a bit more, you know, contacting them before visiting. Some of them may not be comfortable with you just turning up at the shop. So there's, you know, making appointments is a bit more important. It's more important now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And how the shops deal with you as well. A lot of the shops, you can't just walk into them, so you have a bit of a reception desk at the front, so there's lots of standing at the door with a mask talking to people, which is fine, but it has changed the role quite dramatically. And then traveling around as well, you know, not using public transport as much as I used to, so via bike, so it's planning ahead, you know, making sure I've got enough equipment with me and everything for when I do the visits.
And what do you think, how will your job change in the future? Because sales rep has been that way for a long time, just going into a shop and talking to the dealers. But do you think in the future there will be a big change in this job?
I think this is, it comes back to where we as sales reps aren't your typical sales rep, because we're not actually selling, taking orders, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. We're promoting the product, so it's a little different. We're quite, you know, it's quite a relaxed approach, and I think that's still quite welcome now and will continue to do so. I mean, we do have other elements to our roles where, you know, the event side of things, which obviously this year hasn't been as busy as you can imagine, but it's still a big part of our role. So, you know, we're involved with the setup, organisation and design of stands for shows, for the public and trade shows, as well as appearing at events and races. So that's, you know, sort of weekends and evenings in some cases, throughout the year, predominantly summer. So that's another thing, element of our role that will change is, I mean, events and races will come back, just when, we don't know. But races are adapting, you know, and becoming more inventive to become COVID safe. So that's something we'll adapt with. And also the trends of bikes, I think, are moving with this as well. The kind of adventure bike, gravel bike and bike packing side of things is bigger now than it has been for a long time. You know, the word Audax is cool again. So it's, you know, we need to keep our finger on the pulse with how, you know, the trends of things change and what to focus on with that. So, yeah, there's lots of elements with the role that we need to adapt with, and we can see a changing, and we'll just have to roll that out as things change and go along, because it's ever changing, because one minute it's a lockdown, the next minute it's restrictions. So you need to be flexible, very flexible.
Great. Grant, thanks a lot to give us the little insight of your job and the job as a sales rep. I wish you a good Christmas time and a good holiday time, and I hope we see you soon. And thanks again.
Thanks for your time, Toby. It's good speaking to you.